And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look and begin to really discuss what a close encounter is. We're going to look at different people in the Bible who had close encounters with God. How many of you know all throughout Scripture we see normal men and women just like us who had an encounter with God and they were radically changed forever? I mean, their life was changed, not just because they found religion, not just because they found a church that they liked, not because they got involved with a small group, but because they had an encounter with God. Everybody say a God encounter. And we started several months back, we started to have a once a month Sunday night service where we're meeting with other churches, and we've called that service time, that specific night, we've called that power encounter. And when we started that, I started to think about this idea of the benefits of having an encounter with God. And how many of you have ever had an encounter with God? If you've had an encounter with God, then you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to come into the presence of the living God and how that radically changes the way we think, the way we act, the way we believe. It changes everything about our life in an instant. And yet, so many times we have one encounter with God and we don't think that we need any more. And what I want to do today is challenge each person in this place that we need a fresh encounter with God. If you believe that, say amen. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God." Everybody say, come near to God. This is such a powerful verse because what the apostle is telling us, what James is speaking to us, is real simple, yet it is very, very, very profound. Come to God. You and I need to understand that every single day that we get up, every life that God blesses us with and graces us with in this life that we have right now should be an opportunity that we seize to come to God. Somebody say amen. Every day when we wake up and God has gifted us with another day, did you know that every day God gives you is a gift from God? The fact that you are here today is a direct, it's proof that God loves you and that he is good because he has given you another day to have a close encounter with him, to be changed by him, and then to go out and to change the world for him. James says, come to God. Everybody say out loud, come to God. Come near to God and God will come near to you. Stop and think about that for a moment. God wants to be near to us. God wants to have closeness with every single person in this place. God wants more than for you to become the member of a church. God wants more for you than for you to become a Christian. God wants to have a relationship with you. I mean, God wants to be able to talk to you, and God wants you to know that you can talk to him, and it all starts with us taking a step towards God. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, in this series, what we're going to do is really focus on verse number 8, come near to God, and God will come near to you. I want you to know something. We are in a place in history, probably worse than any place before, in the respect of needing close encounters with God. Every person in this place today, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're brown, whether you're male, whether you're female, everywhere in between, what you need to know is this: you need a close encounter with God. You need a God encounter, an encounter where it's more than warm fuzzies or what some people call God bumps, goosebumps, hair standing up on the back of your neck. You need an encounter with God like Moses had with God when Moses walked out onto the backside of the wilderness going through his everyday routine, and he looked over and he saw a bush that was burning. It was on fire, but it was not turning to ashes, and it intrigued him to the point where he said, I'm going to go check this thing out. And as he drew near, understand, God was trying to get Moses' attention. But as Moses took that step and drew near to what God was doing, God immediately in return began to draw near to Moses. And he spoke to Moses. He began to declare some things to Moses, and his life was forever changed. Whether you're young, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, whether you're a teenager or a child, every person needs a close encounter with God right now. Every hurting person, every lukewarm Christian, every on fire Christian needs a close encounter with God. Because if you're on fire today, and if you don't have a fresh close encounter with God, today's on fire Christians are tomorrow's lukewarm Christians, except for a daily encounter with God. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. I want to say that again. The person that is burning for Jesus today is the person that will be lukewarm tomorrow, except for the fact that that person continues to have close encounters with God. What causes a person to be on fire for God? What causes a person to be passionate for Jesus? Not just going to church, or everybody that went to church on Sunday would be on fire for God. And you don't have to be a genius to see or to realize that every person that goes to church is not on fire for God. But yet there are some, glory to God, who are passionate about Jesus and who want more than anything else to come into his presence so that they can be changed and renewed. How many of you need to be renewed? How many of you need to be refreshed? How many of you need to be invigorated with the life of God all over again? Because life has the tendency to suck life out of us. Day-to-day life has the tendency to wear us down. Relationships and family and work and people in general have the ability and the tendency to suck the life out of us. But when we come to the giver of life, it is like plugging back in to the source of life and getting recharged. You know, on Tuesday, Pastor Luke and I, we went to go do our video announcements, and we got this nice little camera. I mean, the camera's really fancy. It'll do all kinds of things. And if used properly, there's nothing that that camera can't do in the area of video. But yet something happened when we went to make the video on Tuesday. This little light started to flash. It said low battery. Because that camera had a low battery, it was not able to perform the way that it was designed to perform. That camera was made to serve a purpose. And if that camera is kept energized, if that the only thing that camera needs to perform and do something incredible is to have power in it. To have power in it. And we simply took that battery off, put it in this little charger, plugged it into the socket, and guess what happened? That sucker started to work. Boy, the little flashing red light turned to green. How many of you know red means stop? Except for in the kingdom of God, red means power, right? And that little flashing light turned to a solid light, and now, man, that camera's working great. And that is an illustration of our life. Every hurting person needs an encounter with God. Every person that you see that would be listed on this list up here needs a fresh, close encounter with God. Let's talk for a moment about that phrase, close encounter. What is a close encounter? You know, I just want to say to you, I don't think very many people are having close encounters with God. Yeah, that response right there is proof. People aren't having close encounters with God anymore. People are not very eager about drawing near to God anymore. People are not as serious about staying connected to God as we need to be. What is a close encounter? A close encounter is that moment in our life where we really, truly come into His presence. It's not about singing a couple songs that we like. It's not about the warm fuzzies that some people say. It is about coming into his presence the way men and women in the scripture came into his presence. And let me just say this, if all you got was a warm, tingly feeling, you probably didn't get into his presence. When you read in the scripture, we are going to look at people from the Bible who had a close encounter with God. There are similarities that you see in those close encounters. One of the first things that we notice when people come into the presence of God is they realize how holy God really is. They realize and recognize the holiness of God. And then they begin to inwardly look at themselves, and there is a sense of conviction that takes place. But then also a place where there's great hope, because we realize that the one whose presence we are in can change us. It's like Isaiah. When Isaiah came into the presence of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." And what did God say? "Don't worry. I'm going to take care of those unclean lips. Take the coal from the altar." Remember what happened in that experience. This is what needs to happen in our lives if we are really coming into God's presence. What is a close encounter number two? It is where we begin to experience his matchless glory. You know, on Thursday night, as we were ministering outdoors and as we were having church, there was that moment, as everything was coming together and the worship was being lifted up to God, that you could just tell we were doing exactly what God wanted us to do. I mean, we were in a place where everything that was happening in that moment was exactly what God desired, exactly what God wanted. It was a great place. It was a place in which really all things were possible in that type of atmosphere. What is a close encounter? It's when we become aware of God's great power. And think with me for a moment about what happens on day-to-day life as we live life and we go about our business and we go about our affairs. We are always coming face to face with things that try to limit us. Whether it's a doctor's report, whether it's financial struggles, we are coming into contact, close contact, with things that try to limit us, with things that try to hinder us, with things that try to keep us from moving forward. We come into contact, very close contact, with those kind of things. But yet, a close encounter of the God kind is coming into a place where instead of realizing what the doctors have said, instead of being aware of what our bank statements say, we are more aware of the God who has power over all things. When you come into a close encounter of the God kind, where you really come into God's presence, you are reminded of God's endless power. You are reminded of God's ability to do anything. And what happens, it shifts our attitude. It shifts our focus. And it brings us back to a place where we're trusting and relying on what God can do in our lives when our faith is more in him than in our circumstances to destroy us. If you believe that, say amen. Of course, a close encounter is that place where we come and are really touched by his unfailing love. It's that place where you feel like a total failure. It's that place where you feel like you're never going to be able to do it. But yet then you come into his presence. And rightly so. If you have failed, there's reason to feel like a failure, isn't there? If you have wavered in faith, there's reason to feel unworthy. But when we have a close encounter with God, what happens is all those shame-based feelings roll away as God's love invades our heart, and we need that. It is that place where we hear God's convincing voice. Man, I'll tell you right now, what we need in this hour is the booming, thundering voice of God declaring to God's people truth. We need that. So, how many of you think there's just a lot of doubt in the earth today? How many of you think there's way too much doubt in the church today? How many of you think that what we need in the body of Christ is a people who are eager to encounter God the way Abraham encountered God? When God said, "Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield." Man, I'm telling you, something happens when people hear the voice of God. Amen. Coming into those close encounters, it's when we start to realize who God really is. And of course, we will be changed. Why is it that we need to have a close encounter with God? You know, these next things that we're going to talk about are pretty obvious to me. How many of you really think that we are in the last days? Yeah. Honestly. I mean, how many of you really believe that? How many of you would say, throwing all other stuff out the window, doctrinal, how many of you would say, we are living in the last days? Yeah. Is there ever a more important time to have a close encounter with God than now? Man, I'll tell you, we are living in a time of great compromise. We are seeing it, man, before our very eyes. I just read a report last night. Perry Stone had wrote in Charisma Magazine talking about how right now there are over 100 senators, over 100 senators. Now, this, pay attention, and if you get any more, because I know you keep up with the political stream of things, let me know if you get any information on this, okay? If any comes through you on about what I'm about to say. Perry Stone just wrote an article in Charisma Magazine that was talking about there are over 100 senators right now working together behind closed doors, trying to propose, get a bill written that would come out onto the floor that would force churches to open up their doors to gays, that would force pastors to perform homosexual marriages, and would mandate jail time. This is going on right now. By the way, what were we told? What were we told? What were we told when the Supreme Court ruled, oh, this will never lead to that. This will never lead to churches being forced. This will never lead to preachers being forced. It is they are planning, according to Perry Stone, he had some leak that was given to him, 100 senators already working on this, already happening. We are living in a time of very, very great compromise. It is such a great there's such great compromise occurring right now. And you know why there's such great compromise occurring right now? Because people are not coming into the presence of the living God. Boy, I'm telling you, there is something that will convince you and solidify your faith like an hardening additive put in concrete mix. And if you don't know anything about concrete, there's an additive that you can put in it that makes that stuff set up in 30 minutes. I mean, it goes from liquid to a solid substance right now. It sets up instantly. And there is something about coming into the presence of God that solidifies your position on things. I mean, you are no longer wishy-washy. You are absolutely convinced of what God has said. And the reason there are so many people who don't know what they believe anymore is because there are so few people who are having close encounters with God. And we need some close encounters with God. There's a great falling away in our churches, a great falling away in our country, a great falling away in the earth today. Some of you raised grandchildren that are not in church no more. Some of you raised children that are not in church no more. Some of you have brothers and sisters who were in Royal Rangers with you and missionettes with you, and they are not in church anymore. We need a close encounter of the God kind that will radically change our lives. We are in a generation of deception. We are being lied to from every platform imaginable, and the most disgusting platform in which the lies are going forth is not from the office of president, but from the office of pastors. Preachers of the gospel deceiving millions of people by preaching a gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the gospel of the Bible. We are in a generation of great deception. And because people are not coming to God, because people are not drawing near to God, because people are not connecting with God, they are being deceived. And they're being led astray. And they're disconnecting from the only source of life that is available. How many of you know if a Jesus other than the Jesus of the Bible is being preached, he's not a Jesus at all? He's not a God at all. He can't do anything for the people who's hearing that message preached at all. Everybody say, we need a close encounter. We are in times of great, great trials. Great, great trials. If you listen to the prophetic voices, I know some of you don't like to listen to the prophetic voices, but do you know that the office of prophet is one of the offices of the fivefold ministry that God gave the church as a gift? Do you know that the book of Ephesians says, and God gave gifts unto men? God gave the church certain gifts, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. It's the fivefold ministry, and it's God's gift to the body of Christ. And the voice of the prophets are speaking about these very things that we're talking about a season of great trial coming upon our nation. And I have read pastors' statements. I'm tired of this doom and gloom stuff. Well, then you probably haven't read Matthew chapter 24. You probably haven't read that part of the gospel where Jesus said there will be an increase of wickedness. You probably didn't read on in the story. And understand me when I say this. This is where we are. And the only way that we can have any kind of confidence that we are not going to get destroyed in the midst of it is to get eager about having a close encounter with God. Many people think that they can't get near to God. They think these reasons right here would keep them from being able to have a close encounter with God. They think that their past is too shady. They think that their flaws are too great. They think that their sin is too disgusting. They think that their failures are too many. They think that their issues are too severe. They think that their upbringing or their pedigree is not Christian enough. They think that their status is not great enough. But understand me when I say this. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Glory to God. And if you want to draw near to God, you can get near to God. The only requirement for you or anybody listening to this message, the only requirement to have a close encounter with God is that you would begin to draw near to God. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't say, get your theology right. He didn't say, get your past dealt with. He didn't say, get your issues dealt with. He didn't say, stop smoking first. He said, just draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And I'll tell you right now, you won't have smoking issues if you start drawing near to God. The only smoke coming off of you is going to be from the fire of God burning in you. It's going to be holy smoke. Oh, glory to God. I felt the anointing in that one. Holy smoke, not Marlboro smoke, not Camel Joe smoke. You know, people can't even afford to smoke Marlboros no more. They're smoking Liggets. Who in the world would smoke a cigarette with a brand name like that? Liggett? Come on, man. Hey, if you smoke, power to you. If you want to smoke, go ahead and smoke. If you want to take years off your life knowingly, go ahead, continue. Me, I choose not to. I like being able to breathe, man. Air is good. Air is really good. But these things right here, they're not going to keep you from getting near to God if you really want to get near to God. If you want to know God, you can know God. If you want to experience God, then you can experience God. And friend, let me tell you this. When you start coming into God's presence, your issues just get dealt with. When you start coming into God's presence, you don't need some foaming at the mouth preacher telling you to quit smoking. You start realize, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't live like that no more. You don't need somebody to tell you to clean up your sex life. When you come into the presence of the living God and realize the holiness of God and begin to understand that you are holy as He is holy, things just stop happening in your life when you come into the presence of God. When when you come into his presence, you're renewed. Your mind is transformed. There are all kinds of things that just happen as a result of being in his presence. And there are all kinds of things that will never happen as a result of not being in his presence. Hebrews chapter 7, I love this verse, 18 and 19. Write this verse down. If you write down anything today, write this one. Take out your cell phone. Take a picture of this verse. Listen to what the Bible says here. Speaking about the priesthood, a new priest that has come in the order of Melchizedek that has superseded the priesthood of Aaron that was given in the old law. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. The former regulation is set aside because it is weak and useless. Talking about the old priesthood. Not talking about the law in general. Talking about the implication, the way that the law was administered through one particular lineage of people. Do you understand what we're talking about? The Levitical priesthood. There was one line of people that could come into God's presence. There was one line of people that could enter into the Holy of Holies. There was one line. Now, nobody else could take part of that special ministry. The writer of Hebrews says the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope, somebody say better hope. Better hope. And a better hope is introduced by which we can draw near to God. Glory to God. God is telling us through this book of Hebrews, there is a better way that has been introduced. It's better than do's and don'ts. It's better than legalism. It's better than all the things that churches really make their bread and butter on. It is better than that. It is us coming near to God. See, the whole reason that Jesus came, the whole reason that God sent his son was to bring unto himself a body of believers, a whole group of people who otherwise would never have been able to come to him. Understand, before Jesus, there was one group of people who could be called God's people. And if you weren't Jewish, guess what? You were an outsider. You had no hope. And even in that select group of people, the Jewish people, if you weren't of the bloodline of Aaron, guess what? You couldn't be part of ministering to the Lord. But God did something so amazing in which he said, look, I want all people to be able to come near to me. I want all people to be able to come into the sanctuary. I want all people to be able to come in on bended knees and give their own sacrifice to me. I want people to be able to come in and offer up a sacrifice of praise from their own lips. I want people to be able to come into me, into my presence, and offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving from their own heart. I want people to be able to draw near to me and experience me in a person-to-person way and not just being communicated to them from the high priest. Amen. It's a better hope. It's a more perfect way. And friend, it is the way that will change a person's life. Amen. Coming into the presence of God. There was a time when only some people could know God. There was a time when only a few people could draw near to God. There was a time when only a small group could enter his presence. But how many of you know on the resurrection, or pardon me, on the death of Jesus Christ? Huh? Oh, come on. How many of you know what happened after he breathed his last breath? After he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. After all of that, the Bible says, and the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, meaning that God himself was the one who initiated it. It was torn from the top to the bottom. And God, through the death of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, and the soon-to-be resurrection of Jesus, at that moment was making a way through the tearing of the veil for all men to be able to come in to the most sacred place in this universe, the Holy of Holies. And God does not desire or expect for us to enter into that holy place on occasion. God determines that we live in the presence of the living God, that we live our life in the Holy of Holies, that it's not just, what do they call that in Islam a holy trek that we take once in our lifetime. Oh yeah, Mormons and Muslims have one thing in common, other than the fact that they're screwy.
They're going the wrong direction.
Okay? They both believe that there's a sacred place. It's the Mecca of their religion. Did you know that the Mormons is in Nauvoo, Illinois?
Yeah.
There are Mormon universities all over this area. My son was signing to go to a college in a little city, Lamoni. How many of you know where Lamoni, Iowa is? Nice little college. My wife talked to them on the phone. Who can tell me the name of that college? I want to put them out there. Graceland. Now, good night. With a name like that, you would think they had something to do with Christianity. In fact, they communicated to my wife that we are a Christian university. We have chapel services, the whole nine yards. They were charging enough money to go to that school. I'll tell you right now, no school, put me on the record for saying this, ain't no college going to give anybody a $40,000 a year education. Good night. Government wants to regulate everything, but you know why they don't regulate school loans? It's the second highest debt in America. They make a ton of money off our kids. They get our kids so far in debt that they'll spend their whole lifetime crawling to get out of it. And most of them will never get out of it. They'll die in debt. And they don't want to regulate that.
Come on.
I know it. Good, now I have to loosen up my tie here in a second. I'm fixing to get my preach on now. You guys got me fired up. Oh, yeah. He's getting ready to go there. I sat down at my friend's table one afternoon to visit with him, have coffee with him, and a missionary who is a missionary to the Mormons. He tries to save people who are being swept into the Mormon cult. And that's what it is. It's a cult. He said to me, Richard, did you know that in your own area you have Mormon institutions? I said, no. He said, oh, yeah, there's a Mormon college over in Lamoni, Iowa. I thought, oh, my gosh. Lamoni is a pretty small town. I wonder how many universities they have there. I'm thinking to myself, surely it's not Graceland. I said, what's the name of that college? He said, Graceland University. And by the way, that particular college, I want to warn you guys, because they're really aggressive in trying to get our kids. They're very aggressive in trying to recruit our children. At that particular college, it's worse than just Mormonism. It's liberal Mormonism. They're pro-abortion. They're pro-homosexual marriage. They're pro-everything that we oppose. Imagine what it would be like for a 19-year-old boy, out of the leadership and the guidance of his family, sitting in a chapel service that's promoting those things. In the name of, and listen, they don't even call themselves Mormons. They call themselves a community of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, we are in a time of great deception.
Yes, we are.
Great deception. And church, wake up. Pinch the person beside you right now. Pinch them hard. Don't give them no little lollygag pinch. Grab them and put a doggone bruise on them. It's time to wake up already. Man, this little patty cake stuff we do and call religion, you grab somebody and shake them right now. I'm serious. Shake them right now. Wake up already. Dislocate their arm if you have to. It is that serious. It's that serious. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. And I know you guys are laughing, but don't take me as being humorous right now. I'm being serious. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation.
Hallelujah.
A royal priesthood.
Yeah.
A holy nation.
Yeah.
His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You once were not a people. But now we are the the people of God. Hallelujah. You once had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy from God Almighty. It's like we sing, we once were lost, but now we're found. And I'll tell you what, I'm not just found. I have purpose. I'm not just a person. I'm a child of God. I'm not just a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am royalty. I'm not a normal person. Hallelujah. We are a chosen generation. You know, Thursday night, I was prepared to preach outside. God really started to deal with me about, you know, we talk about this generation. And older folks, I hope you're listening. This is the one day when I will fall into the category of older folks, because I shared this ideology. I shared this, no, I am not. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Woo-hoo! Those aren't gray hairs, those are highlights, man. I paid good money for those. Forgive me for lying in church, Jesus. What were we just talking about? No, I really want to stress this to you, okay? You know, I was in the opinion of thinking that this is a lost generation, that this is a dying generation, that this is a wandering generation. And God rebuked me. He said, no, this is a chosen generation. This is not a lost generation. This is not a forsaken generation. This is not a rejected nation. This is a chosen generation. The Bible says, for you are a chosen generation. And the problem is, this generation has not yet been told that they're chosen. This generation has not yet been revealed to, through us, the body of Christ, that God chose them and called them out of darkness and sent his son to make a way for them to come out of all that yuck and garbage. Glory to God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Who is the chosen generation? What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world. God chose all humanity. The problem is, a lot of humanity has not yet chose him. And it's our responsibility to bring them to a place of decision. See, we have more than religion. We have more than a moral code of conduct. We have more than a system of works. Thank God there is more to what Jesus has given to us than do's and don'ts. Thank God for forgiveness when we fall short. But understand me when I say this, we have more than forgiveness when we fall short. Thank God that we have heaven. I'm telling you, that's where my mother's at right now. Thank God that we have heaven when we die. But let me tell you, we have more than heaven when we die. There is so much more to our faith than what so many of us are giving God the glory for. There is much more. We have an opportunity, hallelujah, to know God. We have an opportunity to realize and be part of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have a faith that literally cannot fail. Do you understand? We have the faith of God. We have the Spirit that leads and guides. We have grace, not just to bring forgiveness when we fall short, but grace to overcome sin. We have precious promises that we will be enabled to participate in God's divine nature. By the way, did you know that's a Bible verse? That he has given us exceeding precious promises, that through them, the promises, we may participate in his divine nature. Why is the Bible so important? It's God's promise book. And it's only through the promises that you can participate in the divine nature. You can't have the divine nature by just showing up to church. It comes through the promise. The promise gives hope. Hope works with faith, and faith brings to pass that which is hoped for. Man, that was good. Man, that was good. Man, I'm telling you right now, I hope I can listen to that again. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, as you come to him. Notice the key of the phrase here, coming to Jesus. as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also. Now let's just skip that phrase there that says like living stones. What that's really telling us is he's making us to be like him. You understand? He is the living stone. And as we continue to come to him, he makes us to be like him. What I really want to stress to you right here is this, though. Verse 5, let's just read what I've got highlighted in yellow, just so that, because understand, they break these phrases up so that they can help us, it makes the reading of it easier, but sometimes through all the punctuation, we miss the real point. You also are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. See, there is something about being hungry for an encounter with God. As we come to God, as we come to Jesus, who is the living stone, we, like living stones, are being built up. Think about that for a moment. How many of you think the church can be pretty carnal? Why? Why is the church carnal? Because the church is not coming to him. How many of you think the church can be pretty judgmental? Why is the church judgmental when it is judgmental? I don't believe the church is judgmental all the time. I'll be real honest with you. I think we got a pretty nice church. I think we're pretty lenient on sin and people. And I think we're pretty good at giving grace to people. But there are times when we have been judgmental, and don't deny that. Accept responsibility for our errors. We have been judgmental. And when we have, why were we judgmental? Because we weren't coming to him. You know, think with me for a moment. I'll just share a little bit. I told you earlier that God kind of rebuked me. He sternly corrected me. This is not a lost generation. This is a chosen generation. How come that came to me? Because I was coming to him. I was seeking him. I was drawing near to him. And God said, look, you're wrong about this generation, son. This generation's not lost. It's chosen. And you have a duty to tell them that I've chosen them. See, that's the difference between a life-giving message and a condemning message. That's the difference. We want to give life, don't we? Oh, they already know they struggle. But what changes things for them is when we tell them, look, you don't have to struggle. God has chosen you. He wants to reveal himself to you. When we stop coming to him, we stop growing. We lose our fire when we stop coming to him. Faith will always weaken when we stop coming to him. And we always will gravitate. There's a pull. What you have to understand about spiritual forces, there's a force pulling us towards Jesus. There's also a force pulling us towards the world. Okay? It's called our carnal nature and our spiritual man. The Bible says that the flesh and the spirit are constantly in strife or enmity one with another. One pulling us to be worldly, one pulling us to be spiritual. And the problem with this is when we stop coming to Jesus, when we stop being eager, when we no longer pursue that daily encounter with God, then what force do you think is going to have the greatest pull at our life? The force that pulls us worldly. You want to know why the church is so worldly? We've taken the focus off of Jesus. We've taken the focus off of Jesus. We tell people all kinds of principles, do this and it'll change your life. Here's the only thing that really matters when it's all said and done. But whatever was to my gain, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Listen to what he goes on to say. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. I'm telling you, this was written by the Apostle Paul, a man who had everything right but one thing wrong. He had the pedigree. He had the moral life. He had the knowledge. He had everything that you could want for. But the one thing that was missing, he didn't have Jesus. And he said, all that stuff that was to my gain, it is profitable to come from a good home. It is profitable to be brought up in the right things. But those things cannot change a person as much as we'd like for them to be able to. There's only one who can change a person. And it's the great revelation that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again. Except there be a change that occurs on the inside of a person, they will not see the kingdom of God. But friend, if a man be born again, glory to God, he's going to see the kingdom. Would you stand up on your feet? You know, we talk about close encounters. We're going to look at some different people in this series who had a close encounter with God. We started to talk about the Apostle Paul this morning. We'll pick back up with him next week. Look at his encounter with God. Look at his life before Christ. Look at his life after Christ. We'll look at what happened along the way as he continued to come to Jesus, the living stone. We'll examine that and see how we can apply that to our own lives so that we can continue to grow. How many of you want to grow? How many of you want to take this church further than it's ever been? How many of you want to take your families further than your parents took you? Man, I'm telling you, that you want to talk about the American dream. Let me just say to you, that's the American dream. Not that our kids would grow up to have a bigger house than us or make more money than us. That's what we've perverted the American dream into. The real American dream is that we would be able to raise our children in a Christ-centered country. A country where we could love God and honor God and preach the name of Jesus without being told by big government that we can't. And through doing those things, then we would position our children to go further in God, to contain more of His blessing than we did. That's the American dream. And friends, somehow, some way, we got to get that back. Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's close our eyes. If you're here this morning and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I need a close encounter in my life today. I need to have an encounter with God that would change me. I need to have an encounter with God that would stir me. I've never been brought to a place where I've had that type of an encounter with God. Friend, you can have one today before you leave. Maybe you've had an encounter with God in the past, but you've not had one of lately. Hear me when I say this. There has never been a more important time for you to draw near to God than right now. Church, we must begin to draw near to God. If you're here this morning and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I want you to pray for me. I need to draw near to God in my own life. I want you to lift up your hand right now. Lift it up high. I'm going to pray for you. You're not saying you're a sinner. You're saying, I need God. I'm saved, but I'm saved by grace. And I need more grace. And I know to have more grace, I need more Jesus because He's the giver of grace. Is there anybody else that needs to lift their hands up this morning? If you're here this morning and if you'd say, Pastor Richard, I've never made a commitment to Jesus. I've never chose to follow Jesus. I've never made that choice to come to God, to submit to God and flee the devil. Then today is the day for you to make that choice. And it's real simple. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's simply saying out loud with your mouth, Jesus, I can't do life in my own strength. There's no way I can have the kind of life that you want me to have, but yet I know that I'm a sinner and I know that my sin separates me from you, but you have made a way for me to be forgiven and freed from my sin, and it's through the blood of your Son who died in my place on the cross, and I choose to accept that gift. I accept your payment. In Jesus' name, be my Lord and be my Savior. If you make that prayer your own, if you pray that from your heart, it's not the words of that prayer that's powerful, it's the revelation of the one who died in your place that will change your life forever. If you need to pray that prayer, then I would encourage you to do so. If you want somebody to walk you through it, then come up here and see me before you leave. I'll wait on you. Those of you that raised your hand, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I need more of you in my life. There's too much of the world pulling at me. There's too much deception pulling at me. There's too many doubts pulling at me. I want you to pull at me. I'm drawing near to you right now. As I speak with my mouth, I say to you, come to me, Jesus. I need you more, and I want you more. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Appreciate you being here. I want to invite you to come back this evening. I've asked Pastor Don to share.